Our holy husband speaks to his holy bride tonight in the very last section of Proverbs, Proverb 31, verses 10 through 31. It is about the holy, godly woman. This is the second of the last two texts that I'll be doing as special requests. Next week, I'll be doing a special request for the entire month of October on Psalm 23. Tonight, though, this will just be one night's text, Proverb 31, verses 10 through 31, the noble woman, the godly wife. And I am preaching on this because my lovely daughter, if you don't mind my saying, Rachel, asked that we would have this text. So I appreciate her patience. It took me a while before I was able to get to it, but we're getting to it tonight, Proverb 31. This is the very word of God, verses 10 through 31. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field, and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. She planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, and her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Well, there's a lot of verses there. Let me summarize them for you. And we summarize it by having to look at the beginning of the proverb to recognize who's writing it and where his wisdom's coming from. King Lemuel is writing, not Solomon or David, particularly Solomon writes a lot of the Proverbs. King Lemuel is writing, and he recalls his mother's wise advice. He is sharing words about women, wisdom, wise words about women from his mother. First, she tells him how to be a good king, pretty much. And she also does warn about the wrong kind of woman early on. But here are the words that he's passing on from his wise mother to us. And his wise mother, advice from his mother is this: praise a godly wife because she is so rare to find. Praise a godly wife because she is so rare to find. Husbands, children, appreciate your godly wives. Appreciate your godly mothers. Daughters, This woman is your model. This is the kind of woman, the wife that you want to be, mother you want to be. Sons, here's what to look for in a wife. And rejoice when you have found her. May you all be able to say what is being told to us to say when we have found this woman. God bless a good and godly woman. That's the message. God bless a good and godly woman. A good and godly woman has a great heart. That's where we want to start. A good and godly woman has a great heart. She has a reverent character, and that reverent character is behind her remarkable characteristics. You're mainly going to see what she does, but let's not miss where it's coming from, her inside reverent character. First of all, look at the first part of verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? Who can find a virtuous woman? More to say on that later, but the word virtuous, we want to pause here. In the Hebrew, it literally means powerful or strength, and it's translated that way elsewhere in your scriptures. Virtuous means powerful or strength. And we see this idea of strength coming through all of the section. Verse 17, she girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. Notice that she's strong. She's submissive. She serves her husband. And as you'll see in a little bit, her husband, the Hebrew word is literally Lord. It's not the word that's often for husband. But she's not weak. Isn't that the great accusation, especially coming from feminism? Why a woman shouldn't be this kind of woman? I mean, this kind of woman, the world is telling you, and too many Christians seem to want to ignore it as the scriptures of last week. This is what the Bible says is a strong woman. A weak woman follows the flow of the world. She's strong. She's not weak. She's no whiner. She's not complaining. She's strong. She's morally strong. She has character. Verse 13, the second part. She worketh willingly with her hands. Willingly she works. She's not being forced to do this. She didn't have to be asked 5 times to do this. She doesn't do it and can't wait to be done with it with a bad attitude. She works willingly. The Hebrew could be translated with pleasure, with delight. She is happy to do all this. She's got a good attitude. She is eager to serve. Verse 20. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She takes care of the needy because she has a heart for those who need help. She is selfless. This is a really important thing to recognize about her character, her heart. She's got a great heart. She is selfless. It's not about her. That's why she shows up to do the work, especially for the needy, because it's not about her. She makes time for it. It's not an inconvenience for her because she is selfless, which is the opposite of selfish, which too many women are. She's not worried about going out and shopping. She's concerned for those who need her help. Verse 30. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Ah, don't miss that. This is where it's all coming from. She fears the Lord. And you're seeing all of these things about what she does out in the world, but let's not miss the... It's so much a given, it's not even commented on. She's in church, wants to be in church, all the time wants to worship God. Why? Because it all begins there. She serves the Lord. So all of what you're seeing stems out of the fact that she's worshiping the Lord in church. She's a godly, worshiping Christian woman. She fears the Lord God. She is a God-fearer. She reverences her heavenly Father. Thus she respects her husband. Remember last week, 1 Peter 3, verse 2, Ephesians 5, verse 33. Fear, reverence about her husband, both of those words were the same Greek root, which is fear. She fears God. That's why she doesn't have a problem with Ephesians 5 or 1 Peter 3, because she fears God. It all comes out of a true fear of her Lord, L-O-R-D, capital. And so all the fruit of her tree, that is all the works, all the fruit of her tree are described throughout this section mainly, but don't miss, it's because of the root of her faith within. She's a woman of faith. We're going to see she's a faithful woman, but let's not confuse the two words. I always notice when people, especially when they're on the news and trying to win the Christian vote, I'm a person of faith. Oh no, they don't say that usually. They say, I'm a faithful person. Well, okay, but are you a Christian? I mean, yes, faithfulness comes out of, but what you mean to say, because you're saying you trusted in the Lord, I have faith. And so all of the good works have to come out of faith, and we don't want to miss that. She's not doing these good works to get right with God. She's doing these works because she's right with her righteous God, and she loves her Lord. And so everything we're going to see tonight about the works is because of who she is, because what God has done to her heart. She loves Jesus. And so she loves to do what Jesus asks of her to do. And so, women, you will do good. You will be recognized for doing good when you taste and see God's goodness. This is true for men. When men and women aren't really doing their roles and they aren't happily doing their roles, it really comes back to their relationship with the Lord. When the relationship with the Lord is good, their heart is good, good works naturally flow out of that. When you, women, do good, you will be recognized for it because you taste and see God's goodness. And as you happily serve Jesus in your God-given roles as working women. How do you see that? Working women. That's what you are if you're a Proverb 31 woman. You are a working woman par excellence. You don't need to go punch a time card and get a paycheck necessarily. This woman is a working woman. A good and godly woman is a greatly resourceful and productive worker. A good and godly woman is a greatly resourceful and productive worker. Because she has a good heart, she has good works. Remember, Jesus says in Matthew 7 twice, let alone John the Baptist saying it elsewhere, verses 16 and 20 of Matthew 7, you will know them by their fruits. You want a good woman? King the mule? You want to know what to tell other people to be looking for? Mom says, here's what to look for. How she behaves. How she lives her life. You'll know them by their fruit. Here's some of the fruit. First of all, greatly resourceful, productive worker. And there's a few ideas related to this. Once again, resourceful. She can make lemonade out of lemons, right? That's the idea. Verse 13, the first part. She seeketh wool and flax. She seeketh wool and flax. She looks for it. She goes out of her way to find what she needs to work for. She doesn't say, well, I don't have what I need to do the job. Did you get that done yet? Well, I don't have what I need. No, she goes and finds it. You don't have to tell her where to get it. She goes and finds it. She's resourceful. Verse 14, she is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She's committed to succeed. She goes way out of her way to get the food she needs. Maybe sometimes she's got to go really far to get what she needs to come back and feed her household. Fine, no problem. I'll do it happily. She goes out of her way to get what she needs to take care of her family. She is committed to make it work. Verse 16. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand, she planteth a vineyard. That word consider again. She's looking. She's devising. She's thinking ahead. She's making a plan for the week, for the month, for 6 month plan maybe. She's looking ahead. She's clipping the coupons. Right? I mean, she's looking where the best deals are. She's going out of her way to work a plan. She is entrepreneurial. She is industrious. She comes up with ideas, and then she can't help but just do everything possible to make them come true. She's resourceful. Verse 18. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. I think a few ideas could be understood here. First of all, good vision. She knows where to get the best stuff. She buys the right stuff. She goes out of her way to know what she's getting. And she's a good investor. It doesn't run out. She makes sure she's got enough. What she gets doesn't run out. If she's producing, and some of the context could maybe suggest what she produces is good stuff. It doesn't run out when people buy it. And so she's got a good revenue going, a good source of income. Either way, she does quality work. She goes out of her way to make sure she's either producing a good product or buying one. She's resourceful, but she's a hard worker, and these things go so closely together. She's a hard worker. Verse 19 to begin with. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. Verse 22. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Verse 24. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. She's a hard worker. She makes the stuff and she sells the stuff. Hey, dare I say, she knows her way around a sewing machine, you might say today. She actually is a seamstress. Go figure. And she sells, she makes and sells her own clothes. Patches up clothes, makes them last longer for her children. Pinches the penny doing that. But notice she's like Lydia. Does that come to mind? The purple clothes. She makes purple clothes and sells them in the marketplace. Lydia, Acts chapter 16, she's a dealer in fine purple. Remember that Jesus, a lot of the resources that Judas later steals, but a lot of his money comes from the wealthy women who are following him. Good workers. Verse 27, the second part. She eateth not the bread of idleness. She's busy. She is always busy. She's always working. Now, there's a lot of things that she could be busy with, which this doesn't have in view, clearly by the context. She's not busy with vain, mundane, narcissistic things. She's not busying herself with nonsense. She's busy working. She is a constant contributor to other people. Productive. She's a resourceful worker. She's a hard worker. And she is a productive worker. Verse 12. And this is already seen, obviously, in the material she's making and selling. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Speaking of her husband, verse 12, it could literally be translated, she ripens good. She ripens good. The fruit's not picked too early, but I think even more, she doesn't let it go too long. She develops it into good produce, ready to sell, tasty, perfect, not rotten. She's not rotten. And she doesn't cause things to be rotten because she can't be bothered to be involved in cultivating and picking from the tree and gathering. She ripens good for her husband. Proverbs 12, verse 4 says, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. But not this woman, you see. She isn't rotten. She doesn't rotten things. She doesn't rotten the very marrow of her husband. She is fruitful. She ripens. She brings things to good taste, good smells, impressive, a blessing to other people. Notice the constant refrain. Did you see this? Her hands are talked about a lot. Her hands. Seven times in the text, her hands are mentioned. That's an important refrain to notice. Five of those seven references are actually the palm of her hand. You know, it's, I think, kind of interesting to think about. The palms are, you know, it's not always the Hebrew word, but most of the time in this sense, the palm of her hands are mentioned. Because she has a heart for working for the Lord, her hands show it. You know, there's that phrase, test your metal. Remember where that comes from? in the mills, in the grinding mills back in the East especially, some guy comes, wants a job at a new mill. He says, let me see your hands. Let me test your metal. Let me see if there's any metal in your hands. Because anybody that had any real experience in the mill would have metal in their hands to show for it. That was part of the job. So you tell me you're a worker, let me see. Let me see your hands. She passes the mustard. They test for metal in her hands, and it's there. And her hands are not sporting manicures, but calluses. Because she's a worker. Proverbs 6, verses 6 and following. Remember that sermon a few weeks ago, act like ants? Do you remember the gender of the ant? Her. In the English, because it's in the Hebrew, her. It's interesting, the ant that works so hard for us all to act like is a woman. Is a Proverbs 31 woman. She is constantly managing herself to be a constantly good worker that produces for others. She is not focused on herself being served. She is focusing on serving other people. But her work is centered on her home. Her work is centered on her family and her church family. A good and godly woman is a great wife and mother. A good and godly woman is a great wife and a great mother. She focuses first on family. Whatever she's doing with work centers around her family life. She doesn't abandon her family. She's involved. The kids are probably with her in the market, for instance. Everything she does revolves around her family. That's why she has children to talk about. Too many women are not interested in marrying and not interested to have children because it's all about career. Well, this woman works harder than any of those kinds of women, but it's all about the family, so she's got her children that she's taking care of. That's why she's working so hard. She works first as a great wife to her husband. Verse 11. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. Now again here, the word for husband in the Hebrew is literally Lord. Verse 28, it's the same thing, Lord, which is why in 1 Peter 3, verse 6 last week, it highlighted that Sarah called her husband Lord. And a Proverbs 30 woman doesn't have any problem with that at all. Her husband can trust her with his heart because he does not doubt her heart. He can count on her to take orders, and he can count on her to carry those orders out. He doesn't have to come home and say, I thought we talked about this. Oh, yeah, well, you know, the girls called. We went out, you know. He doesn't have to come home and say, oh, great, now I got to do it. You know, and it's late. He can count on her. And there's no worry about spoil. He doesn't have to worry about extra time he's going to have to put into trying to get extra money for the house to have food and whatever the people need, because his wife isn't spending it all as soon as she gets it. She's stretching it and making it last and work. He can trust her with his money. He can trust her to maximize what they have. Verse 12. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She will do him good. Oh, the feminists are just, ooh, that's so offensive. The idea that a woman would do her husband good. Proverbs 31 woman is motivated by that. I will do my husband good. I'll be a good wife. I'll be a blessing to my husband. It doesn't mean he's not to be a blessing to her. We saw that in Ephesians 5 last week. But as far as focusing on the godly woman tonight, as the text does, she will be good to her husband all the days of her life. She doesn't grieve him all the time, but does him good. It's interesting, we were reading The Rare Jewel of Christian Contentment last night again, and it's talking about murmuring and how horrible murmuring is. Jeremiah Burroughs, and that's actually rebellion. He talks a lot of different reasons about why it's just so unpleasant. And he gives the illustration of how men, it's just such a difficulty for men to have whining, complaining wives. He says that we're not to be like that to Jesus. The church is not to be like that. He said to Christ, he says, you know, you're married to the king. You want to honor your king and make him and please him and be a blessing around him. You don't want him to always be, oh boy, here she goes again. She doesn't grieve him, but does him good all the days of her life. Ephesians 5:24, the wife is subject to her husband in everything. You see, here's the thing. She lives her created role. Here is your role. Here's the way you're wired, women. The world wants you to not do the thing you've been made to do, and you'll be miserable until you do it because you're not wired to do anything else. And it's an honor. It's a gender role the Lord has given you in creation before the fall. Help meet. Genesis 2, verses 17 to 20. Help meet. You can be a helpmeet if you're not married in the church. You're helping Jesus Christ, our husband, together. But generally speaking, the woman is made to be a helpmeet to a husband. That's her purpose for creation, isn't it? I mean, literally it is. Genesis 2, 17 and 20 says, I found a helpmeet to help me do my job for the Lord in the Garden of Eden before the fall. Your job is to be helpful. Oh, you need help with this or that? Absolutely. I was going to do this, but this is actually what you need me to help you with. I'll be happy to do it. Absolutely. Keep that in mind as we go through. Everything you're seeing is you're seeing a helpmeet living out her God-given created role as a redeemed person of God, a fear of the Lord. She serves her husband. She serves her church family. Verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. What's that talking about? He can be an elder. He can be a ruler in church and society. You hear this idea sitting in the gates. You even see it with Lot when they first come into town. You see it with Boaz, Ruth. Sitting at the gate is a place of authority. It's a place where they rule on behalf of the city. It's like, I don't know, maybe going to... I can't think of the word, but it's going where the people would be serving in different formal ways on behalf of the village, the town, the city. They're in formal positions of leadership. You see, the good helpmeet woman helps her husband be a good helper beyond his family, to the broader church family and society. The godly woman helps her husband, helps all homes. And she helps her children. Verse 26. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She is a good advisor, and she actually goes out of her way to advise. She doesn't leave it up to her kids to figure it out for themselves. That's a recipe for disaster. That's not how covenant homes are raised. She goes out of her way to advise her children, to counsel them, to disciple them, and she's good at it. She's got good words. Kind words, nurturing. And this is the context of the whole section, verses 1 and 2. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows. And then it goes on to give the advice. But this is motherly advice. He is going to be a good king and give good advice to his people. He's going to know how to raise his royal family properly in service to King Jesus because his mother has given him good advice about how to do it. Dare we say she probably homeschooled him? She takes that responsibility as primarily her job. There is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Proverb 20, verse 15. You can think of Monica with Augustine, constantly influencing him. The Lord used her. And he says that constantly in his confessions. And you should see the way he mourns over her when she dies. The Proverb 31 woman is a good helpmeet. She's a great help, great wife, and a great mother in terms of how she takes care of her home. Verse 15, she riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. I almost was going to say this, I guess I will, I love it in the Hebrew, you can really translate it. She rises in the still of the night. You know, she gets up early while it's still dark and it's quiet. And she's maybe making lunch for her husband. Oh, did I say that out loud? Oh, no, that's probably so offensive. She's getting breakfast ready. Notice that she feeds her family. She feeds her servants. You see, she has servants, and she takes care of them. She's a good master as well. She's a good superior over inferiors, as we've learned with the fifth commandment. She takes care of those who work for her. She makes sure they're fed well before they help her work for the day. Okay, I'm really going to offend some people here. Do you notice what it says about her? She cooks. She cooks. And she does not use a microwave. She makes food. Go figure. This is not saying men shouldn't enjoy cooking and also help with cooking. But generally, the wife is taking care of the basic needs of the home so the rest can go out and do the other things, all equally important. She's the center of everyone else pulling it off. You see how important she is? Any of those military ships that go out to sea to serve our country will do nothing if there aren't people there on staff making their food, taking care of their parachutes, whatever it is. They're taking care of their basic needs so they can go do their job. Their job is vital. She cooks food. Verse 27, the first part. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. The first part, she looks after her household. She is a homemaker. And nobody works harder than this woman because they don't hire. They don't hire mommies to do it part-time. They're full-time mommies. And as we know, full-time mommies never get a break. No one works harder than a mother completely committed to be a mother and a wife. No one works harder. No one is more tireless. This is why I try to remember, and I don't always, but especially when we have visitors on the Lord's Day, I try to make sure to honor my wife and thank her for the meal she's prepared for us. She helps me be a good host and fellowship with our visitors. And it's always terrific. And she's always somehow making it last for everyone. I don't know how she does it. She looks after her household. She keeps a good house. Her house is clean. Now, when you have young children, it's particularly a challenge. But, you know, as they get old enough, you put them to work with you. But she, inside and out, her house is a witness to the watching world, those who come inside. She shows decency and order. She sets up a place that her husband and children and herself can show hospitality. Especially important for the wives of elders and pastors, because that's one of the qualities of an elder pastor, is hospitality. Well, they need a good, helpful woman to be able to pull that off, especially if they have young children. Verse 18, she perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She doesn't wait until the cupboards are bare to go shopping. She doesn't wait to pay the bills. She pays them early. The lights never go out. Proverbs 14, verse 1. Every wise woman buildeth her house. You could almost say that could be a summary for this whole section. Every wise woman buildeth her house. Now, think about this. Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, begins with counsel to a son from a father. Isn't that interesting? The Proverbs begin with counsel to a son from his father. Here now we see that the Proverbs end with counsel to her son from his mother. You see, again, Covenant Children's part of the church, and the parents are the packaging of it all. They bookend it. Advice from a dad and a mother is how we produce good and godly children. And what is the advice? It's the same advice. This is really striking. The father at the beginning, the mother at the end. Dear son, watch out for the wrong woman. The wrong wicked woman. Watch out. Look for the right woman. righteous woman. Know her when you see her. She knows her job is to help you do your job for the Lord in your family, in your church, and in your state. She doesn't compete with you. She doesn't complain to you. She doesn't complain about you. So you can basically cross off almost every situation comedy on television and stop watching it. And instead reads Proverbs 31 woman. She respects her husband's God-given responsibility and embraces and engages her role in supporting it. She embraces Titus 2, verses 1 to 6 that I give you in part. The aged women, be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. It has everything to do with the witness we're going to give here. But notice, you might remember when I preached through Titus, my argument is that it's not actually saying keepers at home. The word good goes with keepers at home, it seems to me, when you look at it in the Greek, which would mean it says good keepers at home. And I'm going to challenge ladies that work at home, take care of their women and are homekeepers. That doesn't necessarily mean they do a good job at it. There's some women that maybe like to kind of be all proud about women that go out to work. Some Christian women, oh, see, I'm staying at home. Well, you may be staying at home, doesn't mean you're doing a good job. You have to be a good home worker, good homekeeper, but you do keep the home. And you give a witness in doing so. See, if you don't do your God-given role as a godly woman of Proverbs 31, God will be blasphemed. The word of God will be blasphemed. People will say, you Christians, what a joke. You're just like us. Your women are just like our women. Why do I need more of that? The Proverbs 31 woman gives a good witness as well with 1 Timothy 5, verses 11 to 15, and I give you that in part. But the younger widows, with all they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some are already turned aside after Satan. Whoa, did you hear that? Not only with Titus, when you live out your godly role as a wife and mother and have children, you're focused on the home, you're giving a witness for God rather than blaspheming him. This is for your own good. You are in danger of turning aside to Satan if you don't fulfill your God-given role. You will look to fill it some other way. You may not realize what you're doing, but you'll end up doing the same way, but in a wrong and wicked way that will only hurt you. And you risk going over to Satan. Now, I've heard a young Christian woman overheard her saying once, the reason women married when they were younger a long time ago is because that was their necessary thing to survive, but we don't need to worry about that anymore. Well, that's partly true. A woman definitely relied more on her husband. But in terms of the scriptures, that's not why Paul says, I want young women to marry, because if you don't, you're going to be busybodies, you're going to waste your time, you're going to be idle, you're going to go about talking about the TV shows, and that's all you'll ever do, reading your stupid magazines, and you'll never contribute. You'll never contribute truly to society, to the church, to a family. It'll be all about you. You see, being married and having children is all about serving others. And if that isn't of interest to you, you are in danger of being handed over to Satan. because you'll fill your time somehow. And if it isn't the way that God says is the right way, you'll fill it the wrong way. But not the Proverb 31 woman. She embraces all of that and she recognizes it, how important it is. Her eyes don't roll with what I've just said. Her eyes do not glaze over. You know, you ever see that? You try to tell somebody and they don't want to hear it. They could be looking right at you and you can tell they've already tuned out. You can see it. But her eyes don't roll, they don't glaze over, and they don't glare at all that's just been said. Her eyes gleam. She's taking notes. She's sitting forward. Her eyes gleam with dilated pupils. She shows that she's priceless. A good and godly woman is of great value because she is extremely rare. A good and godly woman is of great value because she is extremely rare. Verse 10, the first part. Who can find a virtuous woman? Literally in the Hebrew, and I just share this because I think it helps see a little more visually. Who finds and distant? You can't translate that for another language and be clear, but the idea of distance, you got this idea of I'm going all over the place trying to find her, and I'm telling you, I've gone a long way. I am taking a lot of effort to find her. You got to go out of your way to find a woman like this. It's like searching for rubies, the second part of the verse. Her price is far above rubies. You see, she is to be treasured because she's like buried treasure. Few there be that are willing to find her, willing to go out of the way to find her, and then they wonder why they're so miserable in their marriages, because they didn't go out of their way to find this lovely lady. She is to be treasured. She is like buried treasure, for she is wise. She is like wisdom, which is spoken of in Proverbs the same way this woman is. She is more precious than rubies. And all things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Chapter 3, verse 15. But look at verse 29. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. There are many good women, many good wives, but she's great. I mean, you find yourself saying, After I saw that example, I got to tell you, I just particularly appreciate you, honey. I am telling you, I have got a rare ruby, and I know it. There's very few like her. Here's the thing, though. Most of the world and most of the church overlooks her, you see. They don't recognize her beauty. They don't recognize her value. Just like most of the world overlooks the church, though God sees her as a peculiar treasure. She stands out. She stands out to the guy who has been trained by his mother to have an eye for her. She stands out in being a beautiful servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 30. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. She has lasting value. She appreciates with age. She has compounding interest value. She just keeps getting better. And her husband and her children more and more, oh man, she's so wonderful. And she is more appreciated by her family throughout the years. You see, the beauty of womanly, godly goodness goes more than skin deep. Skin changes so quickly. The beauty of womanly goodness, godly womanly goodness, goes more than skin deep, and it glows through thinning gray hair. And it shines through crow's feet eyes. It never fades. It only continues to blossom, and her husband and her children see it. Dames are a dime a dozen. A righteous woman is like rubies. Her girls want to be just like her. Her sons want to marry a woman just like her. She is so valuable because she has the greatest value, like Ruth. Oh, what an example we're given by Ruth. She chooses humble Boaz. He's probably balding. He's older. You know, he's not the... He's just not the guy that the girls are flocking around. But he's a good man. He's a godly man. And, you know, most women, even in the church, aren't too interested in him because he's not flashy. He's just constant. But see, Ruth recognizes Boaz. That's the thing about a godly woman. When a godly man is before her, that's who she wants. She doesn't miss the godly men that pass through. Like Boaz, because Ruth chooses humble Boaz, like Boaz, the godly Proverb 31 woman, her godly husband says to her the words of Boaz, "In part I give you." He's speaking to Ruth. "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter. For thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requests. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman." Ruth 3:10-11. You see, everybody knows. Now, how about this? She's not even an Israelite. She's a Moabitess, but she says she's a God-fearer. She says to Naomi, who tries to get her to stay in the pagan land, she says, "No, your God will be my God. Your people will be my people." And she comes and she serves. And what is Ruth doing? How does she meet Boaz? Working hard. And Boaz kind of notices, wow, this woman is special because she's humble about it. She's not drawing attention to herself, and so it draws his attention to her. Proverb 31 woman has a husband that just cannot stop blessing her and bragging about her. And you see that with Boaz in the story of Ruth. And see, neither can her children. Her husband or children, they can't stop bragging on her. A good and godly woman is to be greatly praised. That's where the chapter ends. That's where Proverbs ends. It begins with, watch out for the wrong woman. Actually, Mom even says that in verse 3, I think. Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy way to ways to that which destroyeth kings. But Dad particularly warns, son, I'm telling you, watch out for the wrong woman. Mom says it too at the end, but she's particularly focused on finding the right woman. And she's saying, first of all, make sure you get her. Don't let her get away. And when you have her, you praise your wife. You teach your children to praise their mother. You praise her and you praise her and you praise her. God is to be praised. But God says that godly women are to be praised for praising him by who they are and what they do. Verse 28, her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Her children stand up attention when she comes in the house. They're not on their stupid toy. When she comes in, they drop, "Hi, Mom, how you doing?" They get up, "How is it? Can I help you with those groceries? Really appreciate you making dinner for us again." Her husband praises her. "Honey, I just want to tell you, you're doing a great job with the kids. I'm so impressed. I just want you to know, I know I tell you, but I can't tell you enough. You are helping me so much doing my job, serving the Lord, serving this family. I just want to praise you." And the husband doesn't just do it privately. He does it in front of the kids. He says, "I want us all to just thank Mom for dinner tonight." You go around the house and you say, "I want to thank you, Mom," and often the kids, you know, and Dad does this too. I like to vacuum especially. But, "Hey, I want to tell you, you've done a great job cleaning up the house. It looks terrific. We're ready to host for the family coming over this weekend. Great job. I really appreciate it. It looks terrific." You see, contrary to what feminism will have you believe, the godly woman is not trampled upon by her family like a doormat. She is lifted up by them as a royal banner. Look at verse 30, the second part. A woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. A woman of God is to be praised. I think it's saying a little bit, it's natural what will happen is she'll be praised, but I don't remember looking if it was an imperative, but I believe it's also saying, praise her. Praise her. Verse 31, give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. An honorable service is to be rewarded with distinction to her and in public, in the gates. Now that goes back to verse 23, the men in the gates. You know, her husband should be there as he gets down for the meeting and says, man, I got it good. You know, man, I tell you what, my wife. You know, people from work should come and say when they meet the wife, I feel like I know you. Husband never shuts up about you. All he does is talk about you and how wonderful you are, what a great job you're doing. And her children are doing the same, especially as they are maturing. They always honor their mother. Like King Solomon when he's newly king. You might have thought he'd, you know, get a little high and mighty and, you know, only be thinking about people coming to praise him. He's just newly king. And in 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 19, Bathsheba, his mother, comes in to the throne room. And the context of why she's coming isn't important here. What's important here is to recognize how he responds to her when she comes in the room. And he's the king of the land. Bathsheba went unto King Solomon to speak unto him. And the king rose up to meet her and bowed himself unto her and sat down on his throne and caused a seat to be set for the king's mother. And she sat on his right hand. This is how children should behave. But this is particularly how the children of a Proverb 31 can't help but behave. Mom comes in the room. Hold on a second. Hey, Mom. Go over to greet her. Hey, come on over here. I want to introduce you to something. Hey, let's get a seat for my mom right at my right hand. So, Mom, how you doing? Let me introduce you to so-and-so. Hey, Mom, tell them about this and that. Hey, you know, and then, you know, you're listening while your mother is being honored and they're talking to her. I mean, he even bows to her. The king bows to her when she enters the room. Well, it was a wise thing to do. It was Bathsheba, after all, who pleaded with his father David at his deathbed to get Solomon on his throne before his brothers who were involved in trying to take it over got it. He better praise her, or he wouldn't be sitting on that throne, you see. The words for praise in the text, Proverb 31, verses 28 to 31, here's what the word praise, you could translate it, boast. You could translate it as act madly. You could translate it as acting foolishly. Some of you are looking at me like, I don't get it. Okay. You kind of look foolish when you just blubber over someone, right? You lose your sense of what people think about you and you don't care. Oh, you're here. How are you? You forget about yourself. You just want to honor and respond how happy you are to this person that came into the room. Maybe that's why we're told sometimes we speak of ourselves in the scriptures as fools for Christ. You see, we don't care what people think about us. All we care about is gushing on Jesus Christ. You see, a wise woman will never do that. She'll never vainly brag about herself. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. Proverb 27, verses 1 to 2. A Proverb 31 woman, she's not going to praise herself. She won't do it, but her husband can't help himself. Her husband can't help but gush over her. He doesn't care what anybody else thinks about him. If his friends think he's a fool, he doesn't look manly, right? You know, what are you doing? You know, it's my wife, the mother of my children. He doesn't care what you think. He's going to brag on his wife and his children's mama. He just cares about what everyone else thinks about his wife. He just cares about what everyone else thinks about his children's mother. And if you mess with her, oh, he becomes vicious. Protector. But in terms of his wife and his children, he's like a puppy dog. It's like a bear. If you mess with his wife, you hurt her, you in any way dishonor her publicly, he's going to go after you like a bear. And I don't care what you think. But otherwise, he's like a puppy dog. He just loves his wife and children so much. So he's got to brag. And that is interesting. That's the reason that Rachel asked for this tonight. She asked for this proverb. She says she wants to be a good future wife and mother. And she said this. She likes the part about the husband and the children praising the good and godly women. She says, I hope that can happen to me when I grow up. And of course, I'm melting. I called her on the phone in the office. I'd like to get a sense of why people are asking for the scriptures. And my daughter says, that's what I want to be when I grow up. I want to be the kind of woman that draws praise from my husband and children. Not to brag of myself, but it's just because that's how good a job I'm doing. Because that's the kind of person that God works in me. Oh, my beloved daughter, you are already showing praiseworthy signs of becoming a godly woman. You take care of your sister and brothers a bit early in life to help daddy, help mommy at the doctor's and the hospital visits all the time. You are the first in the church to help me with everything, especially evangelism, always with zeal. You are entrepreneurial. You are industrious. You are a hard worker. Last year, you organized a 4th of July parade. You passed flyers around the whole neighborhood. You had your brothers and sisters following you. And I doubted that anyone would show up. And on the 4th of July, when we went out there at 10 in the morning, I think it was, whatever the time was, all these people were coming out of their houses, waving flags. And all the children in the cul-de-sac, we didn't even know they existed, were walking around with us, and you let them march around the neighborhood. You discovered godlygirlsforgod.com on your own, and you're now a writer, and you're now a moderator, and you often disciple other girls, often reflecting your daddy's sermons. This summer, you developed your own bake sale to feed the hungry in the United States. And you went all over the neighborhood, you got all these businesses to donate, put up flyers. You got your mommy to do a lot of work with you. You got your sister and brother behind. You got a place at Bonita Library, and you raised $200. You are always eager to help your mom around the house. I do not doubt that you will be a Proverb 31 woman, for you are so closely following the footsteps of your mother. And I brag on you a bit tonight. But I also must brag about your mother, who wishes she could be hiding in the cry room right now. Jennifer, the last year and a half has been a very difficult year for you. Your various treatments laid you sick in bed. Your hands from the treatments, for most of the time, lost their feeling. And more recently, the other medication has caused your hands to be in pain. Yet you always put them to work. You were so sick, and yet you were so strong. You finished homeschooling, and you planned ahead how you'd get it ahead this year to be ready come what may. During your most difficult treatments, you had to sleep for days at a time, every other week. And yet, you missed only one worship service in those 6 months. And you missed no Lord's days. You missed one of two services. You felt horrible. But you fear God. Near this time last year, you hosted the table for the East County Pregnancy Care Center. You did all the work to get everybody to participate. You did all that busy work. And the very week that they had the dinner was the very week after you just finally got off the major treatment. And you got hit with a fever all week long. and we were so low. And yet you attended. No one knew. And you keep walking for life every March, including when you have our youngest in you, including pushing him when he's one, dragging him now that he's two. This year, even when your hands and feet hurt really bad from the treatment. You keep helping me with the ministry like an aged woman in all kinds of ways. Recently, we used our vacation week in August, and you helped prepare for weeks of visitors staying at the manse, sanding, staining, painting a table and chairs for the kitchen and the dining rooms so we'd be ready for them. Even when your husband got frustrated with all the problems we had with the certain products that didn't work, we had to start over on things. I was ready to give up. I was getting a bad attitude. You had a happy attitude that I couldn't help but follow. And you got working, and I joined you again. That's when your hands and feet were still hurting real bad. Then you led several long weekends of hosting and feeding large families at the manse who were here to visit the church. Feeding them, preparing the house for them. And this all delayed our plans to plan ahead to help you heal. And you were happy to do it. And all along, gorgeous and glowing. This Friday night, after coming to church early to help me with the family do church work and prepare for the outreach event coming up, then staying for the fellowship event, later at home that night, as I worked on this sermon, you studied new potential treatments to help you survive until 2 in the morning, until I begged you to go to bed. And you were happily doing it with a cheerful attitude. And then the next day, this Saturday, you went out with all of us and you helped us hand out brochures throughout the playgrounds in the neighborhood to invite people to come to this pancake breakfast outreach event. And you're always happy to do it. My beloved, sharing our difficult providence over the last year and a half has only helped me watch you more closely and be more amazed and enraptured with you. If you'll forgive me, I thought I got this out of my system. I even told them I've been crying all week. I couldn't get through the Hebrew exegesis of this chapter. I was crying like crazy in the office. It took me a lot longer than usual. You make me praise God. You make me praise God more. I praise God for you. You wrote me a poem when we were courting, and I've written you a few songs over the years. And I wanted to close having written a poem for you this evening, but I couldn't do it because you leave me speechless. So I've borrowed some words. I've borrowed some words. I've written next to these words, "My Jennifer Marie." Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships, she bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth for her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow of her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing. And she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up, call her blessed, for her husband also, he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. I thank you for all you're doing, Jennifer, and I thank you for all you're doing to stay with us. We desperately need you. I don't know what we'd do without you. You are one in a trillion. I say before all of my lovely wife of 17 years, and I pray of many, many more decades to come. God bless a good and godly woman. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for helping us know when we see a godly woman. We thank you for going out of your way to help us know how to look for her, and grab her when we find her, and praise her as we have her, so long as you see fit. We thank you for our godly women in this church who have been such a help to my wife. We thank you for our mothers, our wives. We thank you for our women who serve as your wife with us, who gladly serve you. May they be praised. May the men and children of this church honor her, that we would show proper honor to you. And we thank you, Lord, for the church as our mother. Let us honor her. We thank you, O Lord God, even Jesus on the cross, in his last breaths and words, instructed his disciple to take care of his mother, who was there weeping. Lord, protect us from being perverted by the world to look for anything else, to settle for anyone less. For as you give us women like this, your church will be built, and the gates of hell will not prevail against her. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ, and all the people said, Amen.